Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Joshua chapter 10. Now, when it came about when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and had utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel. We heard about that last time. Remember that man came on false pretense and acted like he was coming from a faraway land and enticed Joshua essentially to make a covenant or a treaty with him, but he really lied. But then Joshua made a treaty and said, "We wouldn't harm you." And then he found out they were a neighboring country versus one that was from far away. But God still had Joshua honor that agreement, even though it was made on a false pretense. But anyways, now we have, it's interesting, Jerusalem's not under the control of Israel, and we have the king of Jerusalem hearing about all that Israel is doing, and he's going to gather together, the king of Jerusalem is going to gather together neighboring kings to attack Gibeon, because now Gibeon is, has made this treaty with Israel. He feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city. This is the king of Jerusalem. He feared Gibeon because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. So they didn't like the fact that this already strong city now had Israel's backing. And therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Hoham, king of Hebron, and to Piram, king of Jarmuth, and to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, son of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel." So he's gathering together five countries to attack Gibeon. So the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up. They, with all their armies, encamped by Gibeon and fought against it. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that live in the country have assembled against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands." So the Lord God has a heart for this treaty with the Gibeonites, and he's going to help Joshua to protect them. And I want to share with you in a bit a little bit about the future history of the Gibeonites. "Do not fear them, for I've given them into your hands," the Lord said. "Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal, and the Lord confounded them, these five armies, before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the ascent to Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled from Israel while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them. So a miraculous thing from God, as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those from the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua said to the Lord, "In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel," this seems to be like a prayer or song that he said with this victory, "O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. And it is seen, and it says, "Is it not written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp to Gilgal." So it appears there even was a special power of God that actually had the sun stand still that day. Pretty incredible. The miracle of God coming to Joshua's aid, but also coming to the rescue of the Gibeonites against these five kings. Now, it's interesting, in later in history, when, you know, David and then ultimately Solomon takes over leadership of Israel, in Gibeon, there was a high place, and it's where they put Moses' tent of meeting before they built the palace and the temple in Jerusalem. Listen to what it says, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 3. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place, which was at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. And then it says later in the chapter, see if I can put my finger on it. Yeah, verse 13 of that same chapter, it says, so Solomon went from the high place, which was at Gibeon, from the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. And after this passage in 2 Chronicles 1, now we have the building of the temple in Jerusalem. But the tabernacle was set up at Gibeon. So perhaps that's why God, you know, saved Gibeon and the Gibeonites. And as I mentioned the other day in a podcast too, you'll see that when Nehemiah went to build the walls of Jerusalem, the people of Gibeon ended up helping Nehemiah rebuild those walls. So God had a purpose in saving this, in saving this people, even though it was made on a false pretense treaty. But boy, blessed were they, the Gibeonites, to end up having peace and safety from Israel. Because, you know, what happens next is in the southern territories, and interestingly enough, all the way to Gaza, Joshua and Israel are going to conquer and take over and kill the people of that land, the promised land. And it's interesting, you know, the Gaza comes up several times in scripture, even into the New Testament. And it was on the very southern border of what would be the land of Israel and what was the land of Israel. It seems like at times it kind of maybe went back and forth, or they didn't secure it always, because of just reading through some of the history of Gaza this morning, it appears that at times maybe they weren't controlling it, but indeed in this chapter, they do take it over. So let's read on. Now, these five kings had fled and hidden themselves at the cave of Makkedah. So the kings were still alive and they hid. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and assign men by it to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies and attack them in the rear, and do not allow them to enter their cities. So they're still chasing after the five armies of men who they've defeated, but who have run, and they're going to capture him. It came about when Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished slaying them with a very great slaughter until they were destroyed, and their survivors who remained of them had entered the fortified cities, that all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one uttered a word against the sons of Israel. So now Joshua is going to put these five kings to death, and then after these five kings put to death, this is where in verse 29, it says, then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Makkedah to Libna and fought against Libna. And this is where they're going to go all the way south to Gaza. It comes up at the end, verse 40 of the chapter 10 here. It says, then Joshua struck all the land, the hill country and the Negev and the lowland and the slopes and all their kings. He left no survivor, but he utterly destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea, even as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. Joshua captured all the kings and their lands at one time, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. So Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. And that's where the chapter ends. What I didn't cover is Joshua and Israel going to five cities in the southern land of Palestine, all the way down to Gaza, taking over the cities and killing the people. This is what God had asked them to do. We've talked about this many times. And yet, it's challenging, but it is what God had in that season of history. He wanted to give Israel the land. And, you know, that's interesting, even as it relates to today. God gave Israel this land, and they had to fight for this land. And God blessed them with this land. And, you know, then later on, they lost their land through their own misgivings of not following God when King Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over the land. And then Israel did not get it back until after World War II, which is incredible, by the way, that a country was not a country for that many years, you know, for, gosh, you know, over 2,000 years, they weren't a country. And then they became a country again after World War II. But at that time, a lot of people had gone into the land. So now there's these bitter debates and divisions and wars over the land of Israel. But indeed, God did originally give them a blessing, and his hand was upon them to take over this land, you know, many, many years ago, as we see here, the land that was promised to Abraham. But people are still, as you see, fighting about this land today. But yes, in that period of history, God was not wanting them to mix with the people and mix with the gods of that country. But that's not what we're here to do today. God is in a new dispensation, a new season. We're in a new age. We're in the church age. And Jesus said, I've made you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and that you're supposed to go make disciples of all nations. And when you see the word nation, that what that means is not just Israel. Go make disciples, not just in Israel, but in all nations, meaning to the Gentiles, to the non-Israelites. Make them followers of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the mission that we're on today. We're not overtaking countries. We're not killing the people of the country. Instead, we're trying to win them to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can have forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and so that they can live for Jesus. So yes, God did destroy with Israel the people of the land to give Israel that land in that day. But today, we're trying to win the world to Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.